Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am thrilled because tonight we are continuing our study in the book of Ezekiel. And we know that this study will expound upon the teachings of the prophet Ezekiel, who is considered by many theologians as the gloom and doom prophet. He scolded both Judah and Israel constantly because of their disobedience against the laws of God. Many of his prophecies have already been fulfilled. The ones that haven't are still yet looming against Israel, Orthodox Israel today, more especially those pertaining to the end of times, as also revealed in the book of Revelations by John the Revelator, as some also call him the Apostle St. John the Divine. Now I suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, which at that time, you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Our host has set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's taken from Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Now, the promise is that you will be saved if you believe in him. Jesus said again, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. That's taken from Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Now, the promise is that your faith, if you have the belief, you will remove the mountain. But it is critical upon you believing that you can do this. And you can only do it if you first believe in Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus said, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me, and whosoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be. That's taken from Luke chapter 9, verse 48. So the promise is that you will be great, but you must first receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior. Now, the question for this hour is, again, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on Jesus' promises? Okay, before we get started, let us go, or I would like for you to understand this point, that everything that is written in the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is why we are on the air this evening and why you are listening, so we can study and learn together. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's get to the study. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Ezekiel chapter 21. Just a quick reminder, there are 48 chapters in the book of Ezekiel, and I have written 98 instructions. We are on instruction number 47, and this is where I want you to look and read this text. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 18 through 22. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 18 through 22. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters. As I read the text to you, this is what I want you to keep in mind. The two-way curse. That is so critical, my precious brothers and sisters. The two-way curse. Now, you've heard of the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. We know that we have within us a battle royale that is going on, and we can presume that it is because of a two-way curse. Anyway, let's hear what Ezekiel told Israel at the time. This is what Ezekiel said in the chapter 21, verse 18 through 22. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, also thou son of man, appoint thee two ways, that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Both twain shall come forth out of one land, and choose thou a place. Choose it at the head of the way of the city. Appoint a way, that the sword may come to Rabbah of the Ammonites, and to Judah in Jerusalem, the defensed. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. At his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem, to appoint captains, to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gates, to cast a mount, and to build a fort. Now, what Ezekiel is telling Israel, or telling Jerusalem, is that the Babylonians are going to invade and cut those down that's in their way, regardless of who Israel allied with. Both were going to be crushed by the Babylonians. Now, to give an amplification of this that happened during the time the law was instituted, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to see how this two-way curse was established in the beginning that is subjected to Israel now through the prophet Ezekiel. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 14 and 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. I'm going to change that. We're looking at, this is what Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, I have not found the correct text. So what I'm going to do is preclude the...
Israel, also called Jacob, said to Joseph, the one he never thought he'd see again, the dream that he thought had died, the thing that he thought was over. What is your Joseph? What is the thing that you have given up on in your life and you've said the story is over and this is the way it's going to be and I'm just always going to struggle with this and I'm always going to deal with this and I'm never going to get over this and I'm never going to get victory and I'm going to sing the words to the song but I don't really mean them or believe them anymore because I'm just going through the motions and I'm just going through this. What is your Joseph? Now watch this. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too. He's the God of the plot twist. Not only did he let him see Joseph, but he used everything that Joseph had been through to save the whole family. Because he's the God of the plot twist. Not only did he minister to the woman, he sent the woman to go get the whole town. Plot twist. He skipped a meal, but he reaped the harvest. God is the God of the plot twist. Now, who is this for? If this is for you, just tell me right now. Say, this is for me. This is for me. This is for me. This is bread from heaven for me. God said to tell you that there's a plot twist happening in your life right now. He said to tell you that the things about you that you don't like, he's going to leverage them for greater grace to be released in your life. And I speak by the Spirit of the Lord into your life. He is turning things around right now. And you will see Joseph again. And you will see provision again. And you will have joy again. And you will dance again. And you will shout again. And you will go to the house of God again. And you will rise again. And you will breathe again. And you will sing again. Thought I'd never see you again. Israel said to Joseph, it was the plot of ground that Jacob gave to Joseph. Never thought it would happen, but it did. God said, get ready for unexpected blessings in unlikely places. Through weakness, he is strong. In your crushing, oil comes forth.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with instruction number 47, the two-way curse. I found the correct verses, and it's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. This is a two-way curse. This is where it stems from. This is what God told Satan. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is the two-way curse between man and between mankind and Satan. All right, let's go now to our comparison in the New Testament. We're going to look at what compares and agrees with this. Today, we're going to look at Revelations chapter 2, verse 20 through 23, and we're going to see exactly how the Spirit speaking to the church at Thyatira identifies a double curse. And this is what the Spirit says in Revelations chapter 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto everyone according to his works. So you can see that the two-way curse, first those that were sinning, and then the second curse is upon their children. My brothers and sisters, this is what we have to take note of, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God will punish all, whether he uses you for good or for evil. That is something that we should understand, that God is the author and finisher of our faith and our eternal salvation. He has written the book of life. All are in the book of life. As Paul said it well to the Romans, some vessels are for honor and some vessels are for dishonor. The point is that through Jesus Christ and repentance, we can overcome that which is dishonorable. And that's what we should understand from this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Ezekiel. We're going to look at another Ezekiel 21 this time. We're going to take another lesson, excuse me, from Ezekiel chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 28 through 32. Ezekiel chapter 21, 28 through 32. And this is the text or the instructions that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. God will punish the evildoers. My precious brothers and sisters, God will punish the evildoers. And this is what Ezekiel told Israel about that. And thou, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God concerning the Amorites and concerning their reproach. Even say thou, the sword is drawn, for the slaughter is furbished to consume because of the glistening, while they see vanity unto thee, while they divine a lie unto thee, to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain, of the wicked, whose day is come, when their iniquity shall have an end. So I caused it to return into his sheath. I will judge thee in the place where thou wast created, in the land of thy nativity, and I will pour out my indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath and deliver thee into the hands of brutish men and skillful to destroy. Thou shalt be for fuel to the fire. Thy blood shall be in the midst of the land, and thou shalt be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken it. So what Ezekiel is telling Israel is that God is going to punish the evildoers. Now, we will again go to the law, and we're going to see where it was established from the beginning that God would do this thing. And, of course, we know through the process of time, he has had this reiterated through different prophets. So this is what Deuteronomy chapter 28 says about this. Turn your Bible sources with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to look at verse 14 and 15. And this is what it says in the law. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. God will punish the evildoers. Now let's turn to our New Testament complement. We're going to see how Paul shared with the Galatians the same point, the same instruction. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19-21. And this is how Paul put it, and this stands for our correction today, my precious brothers and sisters. Listen to what Paul identified, the reason why we are the evildoers that will be punished. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, in which these are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murderers, drunkenness, revelings and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you hear what Paul is telling us? And all of those points that I mentioned, there are more than those that cause us to be punished for our evil doing. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that evil does not get atonement from God unless repentance is made. Otherwise, damnation is the only result. Thank God for Jesus Christ. We have an option to repent, even if we commit these atrocities and we are relieved from further punishment. It doesn't say that we're not going to be punished initially, because we will be. But because of repentance, we can override the punishment and come back into the good graces of God. All right, let's go down back to Ezekiel. I think we're going to look at chapter 22 this time. We're going to take another point from Ezekiel, chapter 22. We're going to look at several verses. We're going to look at verse 1 through 6. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to or keep in mind as I read the text to you. Israel declared guilty for shedding of innocent blood. My precious brothers and sisters, this is what Israel was notorious for. In fact, it got King Solomon in trouble with God because of it. And I see we're at a break. Let's take the break, and then afterwards we'll continue the lesson.
Ah, good morning, Bautistas and baristas. Welcome to another episode of Coffee Time. Today we're talking about wrath.
Wrath.
Kind of like what you get if you're with me in the morning and I don't get my coffee. So if you're like me, you have probably spent the majority of your Christian life pretty uncomfortable with the idea of God's wrath. Again, I don't know about you, but most of the time, if I got in a conversation with someone about God's wrath, I would kind of just ignore it and try and redirect the conversation, like, but he also is loving, like, yeah, Jesus. I think most of us, even those of us who would call ourselves Christians, we don't like this idea of an Old Testament angry God who hurls down fire and sees masses of people killed. Like, I don't like that idea. It makes me uncomfortable. However, something that I have come to realize over the years is that if God wasn't wrathful, then he couldn't be graceful. You see, I used to think, and I think other people get this misconception, that God is wrathful because he's hateful or because he hates us or he's disappointed in us. But God doesn't have wrath. God doesn't show wrath because he hates us. God shows wrath because he hates sin. He hates that sin mars us. He hates that sin gets in the way of him and us. And it's only when we begin to grasp just how much God hates sin that we can begin to realize how incredible it is that he would forgive sin in us. And part of what the Bible does, especially in the Old Testament, it paints this picture of a God who absolutely hates sin. And alongside of that, it paints this picture of a people that he created that just can't help but give themselves over to that sin. And when we begin to understand that, when we begin to understand that God loved us so much, but he also hated the sin that marred us, it begins to help us understand the reason for Jesus. We begin to understand that a price needed to be paid for that sin that God hated so much, but his love for us kept him from having us pay that price. In fact, he decided to pay that price himself. Coffee time. And this sort of whole scandal is really summed up well in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6:23 famously says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's here that we begin to see that God's wrath actually has a big part to play in the message and story of the gospel. Because at the very heart of the gospel message, at the very heart of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, we have to understand that because of sin, because of the sin that God hated and that marred us, because of that sin, wrath is what we deserved, but grace is what we got. And so it's not necessarily that we become thankful for God's wrath, but we have to understand that if God wasn't wrathful, then he couldn't be graceful. And it is by understanding God's wrath that we actually are able to more deeply appreciate his grace that was poured out through Jesus on the cross.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 49, and the instruction is Israel declared guilty for shedding of innocent blood. Let's hear what Ezekiel had to say about this to Israel at the time. Chapter 22, verse 1 through 6 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show all of her abominations. Then say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and make idols against herself to defile herself. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thy idols which thou hast made, and thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years, because I have made thee a reproach unto the heathens and a mocking to all of the countries. Those that be near and those that be far from thee shall mock thee, which art infamous and much wax vexed, because the princes of Israel, every one in thee to their power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow." And this is what verse 12 continues to say in climax with verse 13. "In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and have forgotten me, saith the Lord." And 13 completes the thought, "Behold, therefore, I have smitten my hand at thy dishonest gain which thou hast made, and at thy blood which thou hast in the midst of thee." Now what this is telling us is that because of innocent blood, Israel is going to suffer the guilt. And Psalms 106 gives us an understanding that this is something that Israel didn't just start doing. And just for a little background, there was a false god of Baal that Israel caused their children to be burned for sacrifices at. And this is what is being said. And this is brought out more clearly in Psalms 106. And this is a psalm that identifies just that. Turn with me to Psalms 106, verse 37 through 41. And this is what the psalmist had to say about that. "Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hands of the heathens, and they hated, and they that hated them ruled over them." So it was identified in the Psalms even that this was going on long before Ezekiel came and prophesied against Israel because of that and sent them into the bondage into Babylon. Now we're going to look at Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to see how today this is even impacting us as Christians. Look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, and this is telling us of what happened at the breaking of the sixth seal or the fifth seal. This is telling us about innocent blood, and this is what the Spirit says to the church. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the sons of them that were are the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, how long in truth dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little while or a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So we still see that there is a whoring going on in the world today about other gods. And even though this is speaking spiritually, the shedding or the sacrificing to these idols is against the God of Jacob, and this is what's going to occur, that it must be fulfilled before God will come and take revenge on those who are doing such. And this is what the intent of the instruction is spiritually to us. This is what I want you to take into consideration, my precious brothers and sisters, that God will avenge the innocent. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will recompense, I will repay. And that's what we have to wait on. And that's what I want you to understand. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 50. Turn back with me to Ezekiel chapter 22. Again, we're going to take another instruction from Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 17 through 22. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. God will devour with fire. Now, we know that the Bible tells us that our God is an all-consuming God. And we also know that God is going to burn up at the end of time the rest of the instruments on earth, and is going to be devoured by fire. So let's see what Ezekiel said at this time to Israel about the fire. It's Ezekiel chapter 22, and we're going to look at verse 17. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. And they gathered silver and brass and lead and iron and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So I will gather you in the midst of my anger and my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. And you know at that time that in the bondage in Babylon, they were subjected to the fire. Okay, I see we're upon another break. Let's take that break and then we'll come back and complete.
Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obedience means to comply with the law, an order or request, or to submit to another's authority. While sacrifice means to give up something that is precious or a jewel, something that you believe is worthy. But what we do in this world is sometimes we misunderstand that a sacrifice is not the same as being obedient. See, if we were obedient to the process of achieving a goal, see, if we were obedient to the process of being who we need to be, it would have never been viewed as a sacrifice, and confusion would have never taken place. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. And when you're being obedient to what you need to be obedient to, whether that's being obedient to your school, being obedient to obtaining success, being obedient to achieving your goal. When you understand that you're being obedient, you're not sacrificing, what you're doing is you're releasing the notion to become a voluntary victim. You see, people who think that they sacrifice, what they tend to do is they tend to believe that they're giving up time with their family, that they're giving up sleep. But it's simply you following the blueprint of what you said you wanted to do. See, when you submit to another authority, that's being obedient. See, for me, I want to be obedient to success, and success requires me to do certain things. It means that I have to stay up late. It means that sometimes I don't get to sleep as much as I want. I don't get to spend time with the people who I always want to spend time with, but I am not sacrificing. I am being obedient to the process. And you have to be obedient to the process. And before you start to become that volunteer victim that we talked about, understand that you are simply being obedient and you're not sacrificing. There's only been one sacrifice that's ever been made to us here on earth, and that sacrifice came from the Savior. There's nothing that you can ever do to outweigh that sacrifice. And when you understand that that sacrifice that was made for you, obedience is something that you instead, you follow. Yourself to be a victim. Ask yourself, are you being obedient to the process of success, or are you simply sacrificing what you believe is a sacrifice? Because obedience is always greater than a sacrifice. With that being said, Sade Burrell, stand for something.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 50, and I just read to you what the text identified as God will devour with fire, and let's amplify that. We're going to go to Psalms 21, and we're going to see how David put it in Psalms 21. Verse 8 through 10, and he said, thy hand shall find out all thy enemies. At thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thy anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. Now we must understand that in Deuteronomy, the law tells us that God is an all-consuming fire. And we know that the first time that he destroyed the earth was by water. And he promised that he would not destroy the earth by water again, but he will be destroying the earth by his powerful might, by fire. Now let's go to Revelations. We're going to look at Revelations, and we're going to look at Revelations chapter 20, and we're going to see today how this is still or is identified at the end of time. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through 10, this is what the book of Revelation tells us. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as of the sands of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So that tells us, my precious brothers and sisters, that fire is going to be the ultimate destructor of those who are not obedient to God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God is an all-consuming fire. That is the significance of what I'm trying to share with you, that he is going to destroy by his almighty power of fire. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 22 again. We're going to read another instruction from Ezekiel chapter 22. We're going to be looking at verse 23 through 31. And what I want you to do is keep this in mind as I read the chapter or the text to you. God identifies the wrongdoers. My precious brothers and sisters, you cannot hide. You can run, but what is done in the dark shall be brought to light. And we as individuals involved in this experience are not necessarily the ones that bring it to light. It is God who identifies the wrongdoers. Now, this is what Ezekiel told Israel regarding that. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23 through 31, and this is what it says. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey, and they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst of thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood, and to destroy souls, and to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken it. And the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap between me and the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, says the Lord God. You can run, but you cannot hide. God will find you out. And that's what Ezekiel was pointing out to Israel. That's why they ended up in captivity in Babylon. Now, let's look at what David said in the Proverb, chapter 6, verse 19 through 6, verse 16 through 19, about God identifying the wrongdoers. This is so significant. And this is what the Proverb, this is what King Solomon said about God identifying wrongdoers. It says, these are six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, he's identified. A lying tongue. A hand that sheds innocent blood, God is identifying. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that's swift to running to mischief. A false witnessing that speaks lies. And he that soweth dishonor among brethren. Those are the seven abominations of God. So we know he exposes such as do them. Now let's look at the New Testament, and we're going to see comparing and agreeing how Jesus the Christ has also identified to us that we will know wrongdoers. We're going to turn with me your Bible sources to Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23. And this is what Jesus says about that. Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23. And Jesus says, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeded evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within a man and defiles him. So Jesus has identified those things that are against God that will be brought to light, no matter how it's tried to be covered up. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, identifies, if not all, most of the wrongs, the wrongdoings against God. And that is what I want you to understand, my precious brothers and sisters. Now let's go to the final break of the evening before we continue.
The Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. So today, I will give no place to fear or failure. I will not accept a trace of apathy in my attitude or actions. I will reject complacency and embrace the greatness that God has planted inside of me. I will waste no opportunity to glorify God and maximize everything He has entrusted to me. I will fight. My battle is not against flesh and blood, but against a spiritual enemy who opposes me. So I will draw the battle lines and face my enemy with a bold determination. My enemy fights against me because he fears me. Every time I resist him, he must flee. And every time he reminds me of my past, I will remind him of his future. I will make no excuses, but through every obstacle I will find a way. I will not procrastinate my progress. I will not defer my destiny. I will not waver when I'm weak. I will not cower when my circumstances take a turn for the worse. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will fight. Even if I lose the battle, I will win the war, because I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I will reject the lies that echo in my mind, telling me that I don't have what it takes, that my best is behind me, or that humiliation awaits me. The devil is a liar, and my God always causes me to triumph. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord, I will fight. I'm unashamed to represent a kingdom that is unshakable. No one will be able to stand against God's plan for me all the days of my life. With my God, I will advance against every troop. With his help, I will scale every wall. Though my enemies surround me, my God surrounds my enemies. Though they may come at me one way, they will flee seven ways. Because no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every evil thing that rises against me, I will condemn, I will fight. My heart is steadfast. My purpose is immovable. I am always abounding in the work of the Lord. And my potential is unlimited because the limitless God lives within me. I will fight. The cross is before me. The world is behind me. I'll never turn back. I'll never give up. I'll never settle. I'll never stop short. I will press toward the mark for the prize that is already mine. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate me from my God. And if my God is for me, who can be against me? I will fight.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go into our next instruction, instruction number 52. Turn back with me, if you will. We're going to be looking at Ezekiel chapter 23 this time, and we're going to be looking at verse 2 through 5 and verse 10 and 11. To complete this thought. And I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you, this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to. The two sisters. Now, the significance of the two sisters. We are talking about parables. And God is already comparing the split of the 12 tribes of Israel and is identifying them as two sisters now. If you remember, and if you don't, I'll just share it with you, that after King Solomon passed away, he caused, because of disobedience to God, he caused the nation of Israel, 10 tribes, to leave and go to the north into Samaria. And the two that stayed, that King Solomon continued to reign over, was Judah and Benjamin. So we're going to talk about those two. This is why Ezekiel or the prophets were sent not only to the southern tribes, but to the northern tribes. And that's the two sisters we're talking about. So let's hear what Ezekiel has to say about these two sisters. This is Ezekiel chapter 23, verse 2 through 5. And they committed whoredom in Egypt. They committed whoredom in their youth. They were their breasts pressed, and there they bruised the tits of their virginity. And the names of them were Ahola, the elder, and Ahola and Aholibah, her sister. And they were mined, and they bare sons and daughters. Thus were their names: Samaria is Ahola, and Jerusalem Aholibah. In Samaria are the 10 tribes in the north, and in Jerusalem were the two tribes in the south. And Ahola played the harlot when she was mine, and she dotted on her lovers and on the Assyrians, her neighbors, which were clothed with blue, captains and rulers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding upon horses. Thus she committed her whoredom with them, with all that were with the chosen men of Assyria, and with all of whom she dotted, and all their idols defiled her. So that was what the northern tribes did. And of course, we know that Assyria actually came in and disbanded the northern tribes, and they are even lost to this very day. Let's continue with verse 10 and 11. This completes the thought of the prophecy. These discovered her nakedness. They took her sons and her daughters and slew her with the sword, and she became famous among women, for they had executed judgment upon her. And when her sister Aholibah saw this, meaning Jerusalem or Judah, she was more corrupt in her inordinate love than they, or than the other, and in her whoredoms much more than her sister in her whoredoms. And so what that means is that Assyria was sent to dispatch the northern tribes, Ahola, because of her disobedience. Now, the sister Aholibah, meaning Jerusalem, did worse than the elder sister, and God sent Babylon to dispatch her. Now let's look at 1 Kings, and we're going to get more of an understanding of when this happened. Turn your Bible sources with me to 1 Kings. We're going to look at verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. And listen, this is some of what I was telling you earlier of how this occurred. And Rehoboam went to Shushan, for all of Israel were come to Shushan to make him king. And Rehoboam, that's where the Israel left King Solomon. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. So I correct myself. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, and Jeroboam was the one that defected and was kicked out by Solomon. Verse 3 says that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father, Solomon, made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. So there was going to be a reunion, but it did not occur. And this is what happened in verse 16 and 17 just to complete the thought. So when all of Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, that is Aholah, the people answered and said to the king, what portion have we in David, meaning Aholibah? Neither have we inheritance in the sons of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thy own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. So that was when the split occurred. And verse 17 completes the thought. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. So that told the story of what occurred with the two sisters. And that was the prophecy that Jeremiah reinstituted, or not reinstituted, but reiterated from what occurred in Kings. And now what we're going to do, we're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how today we are looking at the same situation. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and then we're going to read verse 14, and we're going to see how Paul told the Romans, the Christians in Rome, about the same situation. And this is what Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So that is what Paul is telling us, that there are two factions, just like in Israel there were two factions. We have the Jews and the Greeks. So Paul is letting us know that the Messiah is come to reunite both. And verse 14 indicates that even more when Paul says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So this is more encompassing than the prophecy of the two sisters. The two sisters' prophecy was only involving Israel. But today, Jesus Christ is involving all, and that's the key. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God's will that all mankind, all humanity be saved. And that's the bottom line. So this is a resurrection of that prophecy, but only more encompassing, if you will, my precious brothers and sisters. And that's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. Now, this does conclude the instruction for this evening, and what I would like to do is just give you a quick synopsis of what we went through. We went through what God continues to do in plague Israel, and he made the points very clear and understandable through his a prophet. The two-way curse, God will punish evildoers. Israel declared guilty for shedding of innocent blood. God will devour with fire. God identifies the wrongdoers and the two sisters. So in the makeup of all of what this identifies in the instructions, we know that today God is still committed to punishing those who are not obedient to him. Now, as we conclude, the host and I would like to thank you for being a part of this instruction tonight, and we would like to continue to ask God's favor in blessing you participation. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you were blessed by our program. Join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth.